My lesson this morning is taken from Proverbs, the 19th chapter, verse 21, which reads in the English Standard Version, "Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand." Think back to the beginning of this year, early January 2020. Did you make any plans for the year? How's it going, by the way? I don't really remember making too many plans myself for this year, except that I was hoping to go to the Florida College lectures this year. And unfortunately, they were canceled, not because of the coronavirus, but because of the measles. But that's the nature of our existence in this world, isn't it? We can make plans to do things, but there's no guarantee we're going to be able to accomplish those things. And whenever I read this verse and this year, the events of this year have reminded me of it. I've been thinking about it a lot, why I decided to present this lesson. But we can make plans to do this or to do that, but there are things beyond our control that can easily get in our way. And if we're just to focus upon, you know, our successes or our failures, as we think about our lives, I suppose we'd be in a state of perpetual depression. But this verse in Proverbs, like all of the Proverbs, it's given to us to impart to us wisdom, to give us understanding, and to come to understand more about God and how we relate to Him. And that's why I want to focus on the end of the proverb, where it says, "The purpose of God will stand." You know, I think sometimes in our busy lives, we forget that God has a plan too. We're so busy making all of our plans that we forget that He has a plan and that He's working towards accomplishing and fulfilling that plan. You know, we spend a lot of time planning, don't we? We even have tools to help us organize our plans and keep track of our plans, whether we use a daily planner and we write things down for each day. Or maybe we have an app on our phone that allows us to keep track of all of that. We spend a lot of time making plans. And if you read books by very successful people, CEOs and that type, they'll tell you that one of the keys to success is to plan, to write down your goals, to spend so much time every day, 15 minutes, a half an hour, whatever it may be, planning what you're going to do. And that's some good advice. The point is, we spend a lot of time planning, and we can easily forget that God Himself has a plan. We need to know what that plan is, don't you think? We need to understand what He's setting out to do. And so there's a lot of great wisdom in this psalm, this proverb, that we should consider. And it's written in a style that is common to the book of Proverbs, right? We have kind of like this contrast between two things. The first part is kind of set against the second part, and it's meant to emphasize or make clear something important that will help us gain wisdom and understanding. So we have man, human beings and their plans, their many plans, versus God and His plan, His purpose. And so I want to share with you a couple of thoughts this morning that kind of show that distinction that I think Solomon is trying to make here, and how that can help us as Christians to serve God. The first one is is that God, unlike human beings, has one purpose. Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. If you read the scriptures long enough and you become familiar with their contents from beginning to end, you come to realize that God really has just one purpose. Paul referred to it as God's eternal purpose in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 11. In contrast to man, who has many plans, God has a single plan. And Paul, in that letter, the letter to the Ephesians, develops this theme of God's eternal purpose. And what he seeks to explain to us in that letter is how God has redeemed for Himself a remnant of people to the praise of His eternal glory. He turned to Ephesians chapter 1. Right from the beginning, he introduces this theme of God's eternal purpose. And I won't take the time to read this entire section from verse 3 to verse 14, but it's the opening of this letter. And in it, he kind of summarizes things that he's going to develop in a little bit more detail as he progresses through his letter. But he talks about the fact that God had a purpose before creation. He tells us in verse 4 that God has chosen us in Him, that is in Jesus, before the foundation of the world. Now think about the implications of that. That God had a purpose of choosing people who would believe in His Son. And that was His purpose even before the foundation of the world, even before Genesis 1:1. And we come to understand then the purpose of God creating this world, don't we? That it serves this larger purpose of saving people from their sins. So He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. He talks about, in other verses here, that God was doing these things in accordance to His purpose. As, for example, verse 5, that we've been adopted as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of His will. Verse 9, making known to us the mystery of His will according to His purpose, which He set forth in Christ. And again in verse 11, in Him we've obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. So he mentions this purpose that God has had from before the foundation of the world, that the things that we are blessed with as Christians are in accordance to that purpose that God formulated even before He created the heavens and the earth. We also see in this section that His Son Jesus is at the very heart and center of that purpose. He's mentioned Jesus, verse 3, verse 4, verse 5, verse 6, verse 7, verse 9, verse 12, verse 13. And that we, as Christians, are the objects of that purpose, or the heirs of that purpose, if you will. That God has done all these things for us, giving to us, lavishing upon us the riches of His grace. So He talks about things like He's chosen us in Christ. He's predestined us through Jesus. He has redeemed us through His blood, the forgiveness of our sins. He's made known to us the mystery of His purpose and will. He has given us an inheritance and sealed us with the Holy Spirit. And so all of these things God is doing and has done for Christians because it was His purpose to do so. As I mentioned earlier, the ultimate aim of God's purpose is to redeem a remnant of people unto His eternal glory and praise. And so, once again, verse 6, he says, this is to the praise of His glorious grace with which He has blessed us in the Beloved. Verse 12, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of His glory. And then again in verse 14, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of His glory. And so, he wanted to sum up in a sentence the message of Ephesians. It is that God has a purpose of redeeming a remnant of people to the praise of His eternal glory. But that's what the book of Ephesians is really all about. And perhaps it's the first place we should go to when we want to understand kind of the big picture of what God has set forth to do. But that is God's purpose. And there are other scriptures that speak to this as well. And we're going to remember our Lord's death here in a few minutes and how important that was in fulfilling this purpose that God set forth to do. Acts 2, verse 23, we're told that Jesus was delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God. It was God's purpose for His Son to die for our sins. It was not something that happened by accident, but it was something that was done on purpose for our redemption. And then again in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of His own purpose and grace, which He gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. So here again, this was God's purpose even before time, even before creation, that He would save us and call us through His grace in Christ Jesus before the ages began. Now, if this is God's purpose, as the Bible lays it out for us, there's something important that we need to understand. If God has one purpose, this is His purpose, His plan, then it's the same plan for everybody. God doesn't have one plan for America and another plan for China. God doesn't have one plan for white people and another plan for black folks. He doesn't have one plan for the rich and another plan for the poor. It's the same plan for everyone. Jew or Gentile, male or female, rich or poor, it doesn't matter. It's the same plan. And so, he says, Paul writes in Titus 2, verse 11, For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. And in 2 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 9, the Lord is not slow to fulfill His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. It's God's desire to save all people, regardless of race or class or gender or the things that divide people today. God wants to save us. And so it's the same purpose, the same plan for everyone. It's important to keep that in mind, I think, in these uncertain times, that God has a purpose. I think that, more than anything, is the reason that I've been drawn to this verse. It's because we are living in difficult times and uncertain times, troubling times, divisive times, angry times. And we need to remember that none of that is going to interfere with what God is trying to do, or what He will do, what He will accomplish. Yes, this virus came out of nowhere, and it's disrupted all of our lives, but it has no effect on what God is doing. The gospel is still being proclaimed. People are still responding to it in obedience. God is still adding people to His church. And it's not going to change after the election in November, whether President Trump is re-elected or Joe Biden is elected president. It's not going to change. It's still going to continue. And so, this is a verse that, like a magnet, draws me because it gives me confidence. I wouldn't have any confidence in anything if I just looked around and what's going on in our world. We have to look above and remember God and what He's doing. The second point I would want to share with you this morning is that His purpose will succeed. Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. God is going to succeed in His purpose. He's going to accomplish His will. I'd like to illustrate that with a reference from the Old Testament, a story from the Old Testament, and then something Jesus said when He was arrested. So let's look at the Old Testament example. So in Genesis chapter 11, you're familiar with the story of the Tower of Babel, I'm sure. And you remember that the people kind of came together and they had a common purpose of building this great tower that would reach into heaven. And that was not what God had purposed for people to do. When God created Adam and Eve, He told them to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. God wanted people to fill the earth. And so what did God do? He confused their languages, and He dispersed them. He spread them out. And that's really the beginning of the nations here in the world after the flood. So verse 9 says in Genesis chapter 11, therefore its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there, the Lord dispersed them over the face of all the earth. So why do we have people living all over the globe? And why do we have various nations, and we have borders, and we have different languages and different cultures. It's all by God's design. It's all according to His purpose. And Paul says something in his sermon to the people of Athens in Acts chapter 17. He had something to say about this. When he was trying to explain the nature of the true God to these pagan worshipers, he said in Acts 17, verse 26 and 27, that he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God. Notice what he says there. That they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward Him and find Him. God spread people out, but He wasn't trying to simply put distance between Him and people or between groups of people. He wanted people to seek Him. And what is the church after all? It is the called out, is it not? That He's called out people from every nation and tribe. And so, the Tower of Babel, why did God do this? Why did God intervene? Why didn't He let them just build that tower? Why did He separate them and confuse their languages? Well, it was all in serving His purpose, that people might seek Him. Then let's take a look at Matthew chapter 26. We already kind of hit on this point earlier from Peter's sermon, and he said that Christ was delivered up according to the foreknowledge of God. But notice what Jesus said about it just at the moment when he was being taken into custody in Matthew 26, verses 55 and 56. He said, "At that hour, Jesus said to the crowds, 'Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to capture me? Day after day I sat in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me. But all this has taken place that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled.'" So again, here is testimony from Scripture to teach us God's purpose. Christ was not killed by the cleverness and design of man. It was all done according to God's purpose, the purpose of saving us from our sins. God's plan or purpose will succeed. It will stand. That's what Proverbs tells us. Many thousands have died as a result of the COVID-19 virus. And that means that these families don't get to celebrate another anniversary or another birthday or another Thanksgiving holiday. And, James tells us in James 4, verses 13 and following, and this is kind of related too. He says, "Come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring." I don't think we knew what 2020 was going to be like on December 31st, 2019. Right? You do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, "If the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that." We must make plans as we look ahead. But it's always with the understanding that if it's the Lord's will, we will do that. But don't be sad if it doesn't work out. Remember that God has a purpose, and that He will succeed in accomplishing that purpose. He's not affected by these things that affect us. So, what is the overall point or lesson that we should take away from this? It makes sense to be a part of God's plan. Are you? If God's purpose will stand, if He will accomplish His will, then the only sensible thing to do, the only wise and prudent thing to do, is to submit to His purpose. Have you done that? As we gather around the Lord's table this morning to remember our Lord and Savior, we should think about that. Think about God's purpose. Stop bemoaning the fact that we didn't get to fulfill our plans this year, whatever they may have been, but rejoice in His purpose and the glory of that purpose, and to dedicate ourselves to serving Him, serving His purpose, and making that our purpose in life. Think on these things this morning as we partake.